from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who I guess I've been remiss. Can you be? Do you only say I would be remiss, or can you have remiss and how do remiss and regret go together? Because I'm already off topic. I was originally wondering if I had ever used howdy in the teaser for the show. But then I said, well, I'd be remiss if I didn't use howdy now. But then I said, well, I was reminded of my remissiveness for not using it in the past. What kind of word jumbles are these? The unsolvable kind. The kind that are here to put you to sleep because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast to put you to sleep. Welcome if you're new. If you're a regular listener, if you could pay attention through the credits. If you're a new listener, buckle your seatbelt. We're here to help you. But these are the couple of ways we keep the show going. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. Hey everybody, I just wanted to take a second to thank Grad Adventures on Twitter and Coffee Crystals for supporting Quip. They went to getquip.com/sleep. They signed up. They got a free refill pack, and I really appreciate it because you helped keep the show going. So I just wanted to thank you both, and thank you for sharing with me about that on Twitter. Oh, Mystery Bard, toodly-toodly-do, I'm wondering if I could have a song from you.
Chris Posty Poster song.
Sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Lecture.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies.
Got a new album out.
I think you'll really like it.
You can get a copy at
JonathanMann.net.
Also, I made a longer version
of this credits song.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your nods.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you'll find me. You can also, if you're looking to join our mailing list, you could go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/newsletter. Sign up there. Get the latest news, like occasionally and infrequently for the time being. sleepwithmepodcast.com/newsletter. And I think that's it. Let's keep the show. Let's get on with this show. What do you say? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's the thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time or temperature, weather, all, you know, all, everybody says all weather now. Nowadays, they've been saying it for like 40 years. All, you got all weather things. This is not an all-weather podcast. It's for when you're inside in all weathers to take your mind off of it. Just maybe think of one person I have a great affinity for, Carl Weathers. And right after that, my mind said Werther's. You know who's an original Carl Weathers? If there was a Werther's original award, if there is, I'd like to nominate Carl Weathers for it. Also, I have to do some Carl Weathers research. You know, just in case they say, what could you do? And they say, well, I don't personally know. I'd rather, and also find out what Carl Weathers' opinion on Werther's is. Oh, but so, okay, welcome to Sleep With Me, podcast that puts you to sleep. So if you're up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep, I'm here to take your mind off of that, whether it's stuff you're thinking about or something you're physically experiencing or emotions that are bubbling up. And as I said, I'm going to take a safe place where you could set aside any of those things. I'm going to try to distract you and keep you company at the same time. You know, those are the kind of feats that in the real world only Carl Weathers or someone that's like, you know, Carl Weathers, weather-esque, weather-like. Okay, my brain said no to both those. Are capable of. But so here's the thing. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, superfluous meanders, extra words, celebrities many of you have never heard of. You'd say, has a nice ring to it. Don't know who Carl Weathers is, Scoots. And I say, good, well, that gives me an advantage, the theater of the mind. Though, if you've, Carl Weathers is pretty easy on the eyes, in my opinion. But that's more theater of the mind. You could say, oh, I'm picturing someone. And I say, great, whatever's in your mind, that's probably correct. Okay, so I'm going to send my voice across. I'm a little lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet. Oh, if you're new, welcome. I'm glad you're here. You went off topic early. So let me circle back before I get lost again, which will be about 1 minute from now, within, you know, with a mean median mode in there. So structurally, what to expect? I'm glad you're here. It takes a little explaining. This is the thing. I'm going to do some explaining. Show may make even less sense when I'm done, but it's to try to help you rapport building. Rapport, you know, I build a rapport so I can bore. I don't know if I've used that catchphrase before. Needs some work. I guess I bore with rapport. I build rapport as I bore. And soon you'll snore. And believe me, I do not see it as a chore. Oh, wait, some part of me is showing me the door. But I got to record the podcast. So, structurally what to expect. Oh, boy. Sometimes I go off topic so early. So structurally, what to expect is show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep the podcast free, coming out twice a week for you. So if you're new, not super important. Just it's more for regular listeners that like podcasts part of their lives. Then there's a intro. Now, this is where one of the first places where there's a disconnect normally that takes some getting used to. The intro is about 12 to 14 to 16 to 17 to 11 minutes. And cause sometimes I've even seen it as high as 21 or 19 or 20 minutes or 22 minutes, though rarely. We don't always get into the 20s, but the intro is a big part of the show for a lot of listeners. Now, about 2 or 3% of listeners skip the intro to around the 18-minute mark, and then they just start listening, and the story starts somewhere in there. And then the rest of the listeners, they kind of use the intro in different ways. A lot of people listen as they're part of winding down, as they're either getting ready for bed or as they're just getting into bed, or they're just getting settled in, you know, moisturizing, hair, you know, hair brushing, ceiling staring. That's a big part of my bedtime routine. You know, fan adjusting, those kind of things. Some listeners fall asleep during the intro, and other listeners also listen to the intro or the show during the day. But since the intro is at the start of the show, I guess they usually listen to the intro just to chill out. So, but the intro kind of, it's just to help it ease you into the show or to put you to sleep. It kind of mirrors the rest of the podcast. And the way it works is I try to explain the podcast for about 14 minutes and I keep getting distracted. And even now I've got double distraction going on because part of my brain that's aware of the great, wonderful, wide diversity of our listeners says, okay, no more Carl Weathers jokes because it's not a Carl Weathers. And Carl, if you're listening, I love you. One, whether you're in the Big Farm or with us, which I don't know the answer to that. So that's apology one, Carl. Apology two, I think you've been on some famous animated shows, but, you know, not everybody knows who you are. So I don't want to, I want to keep all the listeners inside this big welcoming blanket fort we got going here. And also, if you could remember, Carl, what the other thing I was talking about before I got distracted by you, I was distracted by something else, and now I can't remember what that is. Oh, it's rhyming. I forgot what words I was rhyming. Well, bore, snore, I adore, me more, and Carl, sorry, Carl, I didn't mean to tell you. What happened? Oh, so the intro is where I try to explain what the podcast is. It takes me 15 minutes. And it's kind of familiar for a regular listener. You can say, oh, there's Scoots running on his hamster wheel of life, trying to explain what that podcast is, you know, just like very similar to a pet chasing a fly. You'd say, because that happened yesterday, I'd say, well, the odds, and then every once in a while I'd say, did you get that fly, Koa? And I'd say, because usually you're like, okay, you could try to get the fly, just try not to crash into anything. I'm trying to keep an eye out for you, which also in the back of your mind, you're like, the dog's never going to get that fly. But then you say, well, did you? But you say, okay, I don't want you to bump into stuff. I don't want you to bump your head or pull down the blinds or all the other things you can't, knock my drink, all the things you do when you're doing your fly chasing hobby. That's kind of what the intro is. The fly is metaphorically the concise, concentrated description of what the podcast is. And me, I'm chasing around trying to say, well, I'd like to, but I'm just like a dog. You ask me 10 minutes from now, you'd say, could you describe that fly for me? You mean the concise definition of Sleep With Me podcast? What? Did you say I'm going to get a treat? Wait, would you ask? We're going outside? Oh, wait, there's something over there. I'll be back. I got to go look at that thing buzzing around. So that's kind of me. I think that's maybe a way to describe the intro. But if you're, you know, if you're in a chill spot, like you're a regular listener, you say, huh, that's nice you're chasing that fly around. Because I know as long as I keep the parameters, you know, that you're not going to bump into anything and you're not going to catch it. So you're both just living your lives and you're having fun in the fly. I would assume it's just flying around. Could be messing with you. But it's kind of messing with you and you're entertained. So I don't know, but that's the intro of the show. That's what the intro of the show is because I can't do it. Because I still, honestly, I made this show, 750 episodes or something? I don't know. And I'm still getting to know it, getting to understand it. Slowly, I don't know, except I don't know everything about sleep or what puts you to sleep. I'm just your bore bud. I'm here to keep you company. After that, we'll talk about our ongoing serial series, Big Farm in the Sky PI, which is like a serial episodic series that's really nice. And so we'll do that. So that's that's the structure show. In between the intro and the show is some business, and then there's some thank yous at the end of the show. If you decide what you want to skip those, you can become a patron to get ad-free and thank-you-free episodes with a thank you from old Scoots here. So that's structurally what to expect. I didn't think that would take me 12 minutes to get to. Also, a couple easy things to explain. Let's see if I can do this concisely, but slowly. You don't need to listen to this podcast. You can listen and be distracted. You can listen and be comforted. You can listen and kind of be entertained if you can't sleep. But you could also turn me down or just barely pay attention. Just like that, go back to the thing. Like when at some point when your dog's chasing the fly and it goes in the other room or it's not, you know, it's in the center of the room where it's not going to bump anything, you kind of move, most of us move on. You say, well, we got to get to that spreadsheet. Yeah, that's, so what was I saying? So you don't need to listen to me. Didn't, that was a total accident. I'll admit it, a perfect accident. And also there's no pressure to fall asleep. The reason the podcast is about an hour is I'm here to keep you company so you can fall asleep at your leisure. I'm here to walk at your side as you drift off into the arms of Morpheus. There's kind of no rules. Like, I guess with the listening thing, you could turn me all the way down to a mumble if you wish. Whatever works for you, give it a few tries. That's the main thing. If you're new, of course you're skeptical. Who wouldn't be? This is a nonsensical idea executed in a nonsensical way, but to help. So give it a few tries. I hope it helps. And I will say this is a new thing I'm trying. If you don't like the podcast, it doesn't work for you, and you're looking for other options, or you say, oh, I just kind of dislike this podcast strongly, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nothankyou, and I'll have some resources there. So, but give it a few tries. I mean, that's the main thing. Like almost 98% of listeners said it. The first try, I didn't understand this, or I tried to make sense of it. It was kind of frustrating. Second try, it didn't make sense, but it was, and then I fell asleep. So I think that's it. I guess those are the, that's the main thing you need to know about the show. I'm here to help, because I've been there, tossing and turning, waking up in the middle of the night, falling asleep for 2 minutes, and then waking back up. You know, I've done it all. And I know how, I mean, the main thing is I know how it feels. And so if I can help take your mind off of stuff or keep you company or help you fall asleep, it'd be my honor. Because I truly believe you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve the rest you crave, you desire, and you need to live your life and flourish. And so I'm happy to help. The other thing is if you're new, I appreciate you checking the show out and stopping by. And like I already said, I really strive, I work hard, and I yearn to help you fall asleep. And here's a couple ways we keep this show going.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive. progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our ongoing episodically modular series with a tendency to occasionally have serial elements, but for the most part, no. Big Farm in the Sky, PI, the Phantom Minnow, the series, season two, the Phantom Minnow season, which really doesn't describe much, but Big Farm in the Sky is a story about three people, or three main characters, G and DK, tweens, living in a giant retirement community in Florida called the Towns. And they are on an independent study project where they're running their own business, so like a PI helping business, you know, because with the tweens, it kind of goes beyond, you know, also cleaning out garages and stuff like that. So they're on kind of independent study sabbatical with DK's family friend, Aunt Penny. And G and DK are best friends in a true word of friendship, and they work with their uncle Simon, or technically G's uncle, but Uncle Simon. Now, Uncle Simon is a resident of the Big Farm in the Sky, meaning at one point in the last, you know, few decades, Simon was a human-based being, or a human being based on in our earthly realm. And then at some point before season one, Simon made a transition from being an earth-based being to a Big Farm-based being, Big Farm in the Sky, one of the realms you can transition to that I'm aware of. You know, mostly, you know, a lot of people say, well, that's where all the dogs go, which is a different one. There are dogs in the Big Farm in the Sky. But, you know, when they say, well, where's Ralphie? Oh, run it. We brought him to Ralphie to a farm. And then you, as you get older, you say, Mom, Dad, I know, but Ralphie's not at a farm. Or, you know, you say, well, can we go to the farm? No, it's a Big Farm in the Sky where Ralphie lives. So the same goes for people. And this happens to be like, and that's a metaphorical term. It's not just a Big Farm in the Sky. And also you say, well, is it in the sky? Well, kind of within and beyond the sky of your own, of your understanding. So basically in season one, they were cracking cases. Simon was a Big Farm in the Sky PI, cracking cases in the big sky, the Big Farm in the Sky. And then in season two, they've moved to the earthly realm. Also another important piece of story bit. So just so you know, when you transition to the Big Farm in the Sky, you know, that's one of a panoply of things that can happen. And I don't know, you know, I don't know anything about that. But the odds of you, like, so most Earth-based being or human beings that transition to the Big Farm in particular, you know, you just go to live at the Big Farm. Maybe there's some way to, like, watch what's going on back on Earth on, like, a TV or something. But there's no real communications. But, and I don't know if this is genetic or just a rare thing, there are in one in a million situations, beings that make the transition from Earth to the Big Farm in the Sky that have the ability to return to Earth. You know, in some form that may be sublime or whatever. And then, even then, among those that can return or project or communicate, the ones that can actually fully interact in a way in this particular scenario, very, 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 very rare. So I really got lucky with access to these particular people, but luckily the Big Farm also exists in my imagination in the sky. Just so you say, well, why, you know, how come I haven't run it? You know, how come I can't crack cases with my Uncle Simon or whatever? You know, my Aunt Edith, me and my Aunt Edith wanted to jet ski. We don't, you say, well, yeah, it's not, you know, just a roll of the dice. If the dice had a million pips or more. So I think that explains it. Basically, they're here in Florida at the Towns,
solving cases for people in a retirement community to say, hey, maybe, I mean, this particular one's pretty benign case to be cracked, but it's always interesting enough to sleep to. And also we have our Hollywood announcer here to introduce the show, who's right on time, as always, Mr. Antonio Banderas. Thank you. This is the ladies, the gentlemen, the boys, the girls, the friends beyond the binary. It's time for the big farm in the sky. Let's correct this case. Yeah. Wow, I love when you say, I could listen to you say, yeah. Yeah. Like when you say, yeah, I mean, well, I guess I couldn't because it's like, we should get the photographer for the O face thing, that project. Remember that one? When you say, yeah, I'd like to have a photograph of my face and then say, wait a second, what kind of face am I making there? My friend, you are one of a kind. Thanks. Are you going to hang out and sit around and not move or walk around or breathe loudly as you have a tendency, no offense, to do? Or if you do drink any water, not have your throat make that slight pinging sound that my mic picks up? Or also your right elbow does make a like a tiny snip occasionally, which I'd love to show you some Tiger Bomb or something after I record while we play Munchkin. Oh, my friend, I would like to play Tokaido if we could. You got yourself a deal. That's Mr. Antonio Banderas, everybody, and this is Big Firm in the Sky PI. Hey, Diane, it's me, Simon, reporting. We're here to tell you about our latest case. Very exciting stuff. You could say this case is magical, Diane. Or, you know, I may be under an illusion. Well, I thought that would be funnier, but I think something, I'm not alluding to anything, but there is illusions at play here. So we are going, now this is one of these cases that, especially with G and DK, this is more of an observational case, Diane. We were hired to do one thing, but there are other things connected, and this is when I'm glad I'm with them, you know, especially because I'm one of the few, big firm-based beings that can interact in the human world. So I'm glad about that. Anyway, Diane, so we were hired, here in the towns, it's a large retirement community, and they have a couple villages or village centers, Diane. Those are like places to go shopping within the complex, because they think for some people, when they move here to retire or to spend their golden days or whatever they say, they're there and they say, well, this is, you know, I just want to be in this community and that's it. And so there's places to go shopping. There's places to deal with everything. But so these villages within the towns, so they have different ones with entertainment options too. Like you want to go to the movies, you want to go bowling. Do you want to go eat? There's lots of eating things and, entertaining things. And now also, there's not a lot of, like, sometimes they'll have performances, they have performing arts centers, Diane, but this one, this case, this one was a little bit, someone who claims that they're just performing for fun. It's someone that seems, now it's, they're in masquerade. And they claim they're an amateur busker because at first when they first start doing this, so only for free, the performances, no tips. And they seem to know their way around because they said, well, I can do this. I can do magic here in this town square. But so they do magic, but they're wearing a masquerade, which again, I guess when they first started doing it, there was a little hubbub. But I mean, most things here, unless you're following all the rules to a T, even then there's some hubbub sometimes. Yeah, but this person is also very entertaining. So they do different magic performances, close-up magic, just like you would where you might encounter a magician. The only thing is the masquerade. It's a cute one, like you'd see at a fun masquerade, like a Mardi Gras or something. Like it looks like it looks like a kitty cat. In a way, like some of those kitty cat masquerade things, you say, well, I don't like that kitty cat smiling in a way that I, this one, it just looks, it's just a calming thing. But I guess according to the rules, unless they get changed, if you live in this community and you want to wear a kitty cat thing, you actually can. So that was news to me. Yeah, but so they perform. So our case, which is, it has layers to it, Diane. We were hired by a client, G&DK were, and they said, this person said, we want to know our client, who will remain a mystery for now. They wanted to know this one illusion they did. How did they do it? It seems kind of friendly, fun thing. Like, can you two, and we wondered at first as we talked about it at the beginning of the case, was this some sort of fun challenge for G&DK, like a life learning thing? Well, I'll hire you to learn some life lessons. Or was it marketing for this magic person? We said, well, there's not really any money in it. They're just doing it for the love of performance or magic. It may be. So, whatever. So we started watching it. Now, this particular trick is one of those tricks. We'll get to the trick, but it involves usually an item, a watch or a ring from a volunteer. And they said, you'll know the trick because it's amazing. So they didn't, the person that hired us, they didn't say. So G&DK and I tagged along. We went down and they watched the performance. And the first time they watched, the person didn't do, they did a lot of tricks and they didn't do the trick we were looking for. We said, well, that's pretty good. We couldn't figure out which trick. And then they got some soft serve and went back and then they watched some more because the person said, well, I'll be back in at 2:30. And then they did the trick because it was just a trick that, as far as I know, it's layered in a way that you say, wait a second, did that just happen? Was that accidental? Was this an accident or an illusion? And so then G&DK did it but they said, well, we can't just keep watching it because it felt like you can only watch someone without their permission so long. And so then we went to eat. G&DK and Aunt Penny met them. There's a place called, it's got a name of a cuisine. It's called Dials, it's like crocs, and you actually, when you go in, you take your shoes off and I think it's run by the same corporation that makes those croc shoes, and you put those on, but it seemed after another type, like a cartoony croc, but I think the food they serve is not, it's a cousin of that, but so you wear crocs there, and then they try to get you to buy them, and if you buy them right up front when you first make your order, then you can customize them while you eat. Very creative. But I don't know. You're going to wash your hands. Like, how many times can you wash your hands? I don't have to worry about that. And Aunt Penny insisted on G&DK getting their own Crocs and customize them, and Aunt Penny too. So that was fun. But we also asked for a seat by a window, which just happened to look out at the plaza that the masquerade magician, who we'll call them, the amateur busker, was performing at. And so what we did was we started watching, and customizing. Now, Aunt Penny doesn't know about me, so it was a little bit, you know, because you got to maintain some boundaries. Not everybody can know that I'm there from the big farm helping crack cases. But we were watching the performance. I went actually outside and watched a close-up again. But I thought this was kind of G&D case to undo. How does this person do this illusion? And it was tough. We couldn't figure it out because it was like, what is, like, none of us are magicians. So after lunch, now, also, one thing that's interesting about the towns is you can't drink, like, well, you can't order one drink. If you order one drink, they bring you two, Diane. Especially grown-up drinks. It's literally what happens. It's always two for one in the towns. In the towns, it's always two for one. You know, they most people drive their golf carts, which Aunt Penny is also got G&DK permits to be able to drive on their own golf cart. I mean, not their own golf cart, but Aunt Penny has an older golf cart. But you, it's just funny. You say, I'll have one iced tea. They bring you two. And I think, you know, people are retired. That's what they do there. But it's just confusing. So if you ordered two, you would probably get four. So that's one thing to know, Diane. If you weren't looking to save money, if you're thirsty or you're, you know, looking to hydrate or get dehydrated, you could do that. So we observed, then we went to the library, it was three of us, and read some books on magic and did some research at the local library here in the towns, which is interesting because it's not a public library. But we really tried to learn, and we still got nowhere. And so then we all debated asking. So then we went and asked eventually, like, this was over a couple of days of debating. Could we just ask the person? So they went to the master. They said, well, how do you do that one trick with the watch or the ring that you get from the person? And the masquerade magician said, you know, I cannot tell, you know, I can't reveal power, you know, those kind of things, power of magic. Well, I can't reveal. I'm glad you're curious. And they said, well, we read, you know, the Busey's theory of magic, and, oh, that's one of my favorites. And then I said, really, what's behind it? They're very persistent, but in a fun way. And the person said, practice. Magic's really about practice. But I can't, you know. And then G&DK, that wasn't good enough. So then we said, well, we still got to figure this out. And they were trying different things, trying to recreate it. But it's trying to, like, build something that you don't exactly know, like, you can only see the outside of the building. You don't know what the superstructure is. They didn't know the superstructure of this magic illusion. And they actually started to get a little miffed with this masquerade magician. And then things took another twist to Diane. And the twist was... that they went back, the person said, well, have you figured, the client said, well, have you figured out where the illusion is? And they said, no. And we'll probably have to learn a lot more about magic, and the person's not telling us. Then our client got not happy. They said, typical, silly magicians and know everything. You know, this person seemed to have we said, what is this, a personal thing? And then G&DK said, hold on, like, we thought this, you were hiring us, either as a game to train us, you know, to help our investigative skills, or because you were actually curious how the illusion was done, and that seems like something you would hire kid detectives for, you know, because a normal detective would probably say, buy a friggin' book, or, you know, unless you charged enough. And the person was still, our client was still, they said, listen, there's something I'm not telling you. And G&DK said, what? And they said, well, I suspect the masquerade magician is like what are the objects they're working with? Well, watches and rings. And he said, exactly. And G&DK said, well, they return them always. you know, to the original state and to the original owner. And the client said, well, aren't you paying attention? You know, they are, to the different watches and rings. And, you know, you could easily tell that there's a big difference. You know, they said something about different watches that I'm not familiar with. You know, they know there's the one watch everybody used to talk about, like the Oyster Dive 5 million or whatever. But then nowadays, James Bond wears something different. And also, you got really like your, like someone like Michelle Wee, she always has a nice watch. And I say, well, that's probably a watch you could aspire to own. And so the watch business, I guess, has opened up that there's not just one super watch anymore. And then the same goes for rings, of course. So they said, are you saying that this person is switcheroing? And they said, no, casing. And G&DK said, well, that's not our business. Why don't you talk to the bigger ups, you know, the people that are in charge of that thing, you know, secure people. And the person said they don't believe it, but the statistics show. And G&DK said, I don't think this case is for us anymore. You're blurring the lines. We're not, you know, we're PIs. We're not and the person says, okay, listen, you care about the community, right? Just check the statistics with the performance. This is when the person started performing this month of this year. And you'll notice that the reports of missing watches and rings is corresponding to their appearances. And they said, okay. And they looked at the statistics. They said, well, we'll think about it. And they said, okay. Then they said, let's tail this. But, you know, G&DK, they're gum shoes or whatever. Once you have gum on your shoe, it's not just going to come off. Even if you say, well, I got a sneaky suspicion there's some, you know, bad gel, sand in the Vaseline or whatever. So then they started, they said, well, and also we always wanted the three of us, as soon as they got permission to be able to drive the golf cart, you know, we'd been on a stakeout. So we said, one day we want to tail somebody. So I guess that also masked it. And I'm partially to a part of it, Diane, is we were dreaming of tailing someone in a golf cart, just like in the movies, but that's in cars. And, oh, boy, did we get our chance, because we went down to Gators, actually got some more iced teas, and Aunt Penny had iced tea. At G&DK, they drink, usually they just have soda water with limes, or the, you know, lemonade, and they just wore their Gators, they wore their Crocs, so they didn't have to redo them, yeah, quite a restaurant. I wonder if they was sold hand sanitizer, Diane, they probably would make they'd make their whole profit on that. But they do have that at every table, those pumps. I didn't know that before. But I was saying, that's not the same as washing. But you know, you customize it, then you eat. Or you say, no, thank you, I'm not buying any Crocs. I came here to eat it. Not, you know, relative of a crock, but not exactly deep fried or whatever. You know, or just some gumbo or something nice. They said, well, what about some cheese sticks, Diane? And they said, boy, cheese sticks, that has nothing to do with anything. And, you know, twice baked potatoes, potato skins. Sorry, Diane, I'm off topic here. So where are we? So we go, well, the big tail. So we waited. And we had waited, you know, scouted out before, figured out what their golf cart looked like. Luckily, their golf cart was neon pink with flames, painted flames, obviously. So it was easy and lights. So we waited till dusk. And we started our extremely slow-moving pursuit of them, Diane. And G&DK, of course, it took them a while, but they had been working on who was going to get to drive and how they would do that. I said, well, I'll just, you know, be here, as in my, you know, spiritual sense, along for the ride. And so they set out, and holy cow, we never had a time. It was like the time of our lives, Diane. It was fun. We were laughing. I mean, everything was worth it, following them, and they went far. I mean, luckily, these golf carts, you know, the new batteries, and we slowed down. You know, we let other cars get in front of us. We turned our lights off, even though it was kind of dusk, and we turned them back on. And then eventually we were, you know, following them. We were the only thing. So then we slowed down again. And then we, you know, a couple times we lost the golf cart, but, you know, there's only 2 minutes of say. That's when G and DK were lucky to have them, because one would go run ahead one path, and then the other one would turn and try, and then we'd meet back. So we didn't really lose, almost lost. But then they pulled into their driveway, which kind of, the roof was up. So then we pulled in behind them. And he says, still trying to figure out that illusion, huh? And then G and DK, they said, why don't you come in? You can have a, what do they call? They call their porches something in the, at the towns too. Not a solange. I think it like that's a, but something like that. They don't call it a porch or a sunroom. But I forget the name, Diane. So they said, would you like to come sit in our solange and, or solar? I'd like, actually, I would call it a solarium, even though that's probably not what it is, Diane. So then they sat there with a magician, and they said, well, you know, what about, the magician said, well, you got this look in your eyes, beyond you, there's something going on behind. And they said, well, we're hired to figure out your illusion. And the magician, still wearing, until this point, the cat masquerade. But then they took off the cat masquerade, and they said, okay, well, tell me more. And they said, well, there's a spike ever since you've been doing your illusion. There's a spike in missing reports of missing or insurance claims on watches and rings. And the masquerade, I would keep referring to it to them because they were wearing a mask. Yeah, the masquerade magician, but they think they were doing that to build trust with all of us. But the masquerade magician said, well, okay, well, have you interviewed anybody that's missing or what? Because I know a little bit about you too. You know, you've helped some of my friends. And they said, why don't you go ask? But they like it could be a new revenue source, not for you two, but maybe like your next trainees. And I said, of course, like they said, you'll figure it out, and you know, come back to me, and I'll tell you the origins of my illusion, but not the, you know, if you just look into that. And so we all said, fair enough. So G and DK looked up at some people that had reported. In the lost and found, like not in the lost department, like needing help finding this missing watch or ring. And they answered a couple of those. And it was interesting, Diane. It was an increase in awareness. It causes an increase in missing things. If you go to see a show without a watch on and your buddy like has their watch disappear or a ring, you say, well, I forgot about that watch I had, you know. I want to channel my inner Michelle Wee and really look like, especially when I'm hitting those balls out on the golf course. So maybe I'll see if I can find that watch. And then they said, well, I don't even know where that watch is missing. The same thing. Now, sometimes they just say, huh, I wonder where it is. Sometimes they say, well, if it's missing, it must have a cause beyond me. You know, especially if it's like, you know, whatever, the Oyster Diver 4-1, 4015. And so it was very quickly that they realized that a lot of times it was just, as your awareness increases, it doesn't increase your awareness of where the item is. And that there's a gap, and that most of the time the gap is, you know, due to an organizational system or missing, or you don't know what happened to it. So they dug enough that they quickly realized Some people forget about their watches and rings till they're reminded of them. And so this was another case we indirectly kind of cracked, but there's too many cases to ever possibly crack. But as a magician said, if G and DK were training some other people, they could do, you could say, well, this is where you'd learn your first PI skills, is helping all these people see if it's findable, their ring or their watch. You know, and some are not findable. Some you say, well, wait a second. We had to spend 5,000 hours going through my receipts to realize I sold that. Okay. So then they went back eventually to the masquerade magician. And they said, you know, you were right. It was like an increase in awareness. And they kind of relaxed and they said, okay, well, tell us, you tell us about your illusion. And then the masquerade magician went and told us the history of their love of magic. And they said they once worked with a magician named Mesmero. And that eventually they had another mentor. That was, Mesmero was not the best mentor, but then they worked with another mentor. The mysterious Sheila was her name. And they said they worked with her, and she was really generous and really encouraging. And they said, essentially, you know, magic is supposed to look magical, right? And effortless. And, you know, like I told you earlier, that just takes a lot of practice and work. But I can tell the two of you that this case, you know, there's still layers to this case. You know, I'm not here. I'm not here out of innocence, but I don't, I say, you know, you think you probably need to know more about your client to crack this case, but I promised you to tell you the origins of my illusion, the illusion that has your client's eye. And he said, for magic, it's always about, you know, what the audience in magic's kind of ridden these waves of popularity and decline in the post WW2, and you know, magic's fallen on some hard times outside of Las Vegas or places. But I have a love of magic. But to tell you the origin of the illusion is, you know, every magician, working professional magicians are rare, but you know, there's part time magicians and people that just do it for the love of magic. And people that love to perform, you know, not that different. It's an art. It really is an art. And part of art is creating, which a lot of people forget or gloss over, or reinventing. And the mysterious Shield was big on encouraging me to do that. And I wanted to find my signature thing, and I worked very, very hard. And one day I had one signature thing, and I think that's part of the mystery. So that was gone and no longer usable. As quickly as I invented it, someone revealed how it was done. But then I was determined to find another illusion because I was a working magician. And I eventually was practicing reinventing this trick that the mysterious Sheila was known for, involving, you know, a ring or a watch, and you know, very typical but different of, you know, putting it into a handkerchief or something, disguising it, and then making it seem like it's ruined or missing. And there is some element of art and magic that is always outside of your control and saying yes, a synchronicity, maybe you could call it, the two of you. And I happened to be kind of practicing this one move just to get the mysterious Sheila's act down, to see where my opening could be, when I just happened to be in the middle of a flourish and I dropped the watch I was holding as a practice prop watch. And then I did something else instinctually. And that became the foundation of the illusion that you see me performing. Now, before you start to think that it's all magical, intervention. I think it took me about 3 months of practice to be able to recreate that one moment, which was essential to the actual illusion of making the watch seem, or the ring seem, as if it's falling, and then it vanishes at the moment you hit the ground, before it hits the ground, in front of your very eyes, is the illusion that you see, is that I'm performing a trick, and that I drop it, and that it disappears. And it's an amazing trick. I mean, the two of you, there's no quibbling about it. And I knew that that accidental drop was the moment I was looking for, and I could build the illusion around that one thing. But recreating that accidental drop at that precise moment where it would work in the trick, and then practicing and practicing and practicing, it was a very labor-intensive and very focused. And then saying, oh, no, okay, I didn't realize that changing that gear affects this gear, so let's move this here. And then keeping it fresh, you know, in a variety of other performance, you know, it's a thing. But like I said, there's another layer you're not aware of. And again, I can't tell you the illusion, but maybe you could share that with your client. But I can tell you that it's a dead end, because I'm not... without my mistakes, you're not coming to me by accident. None of this is by accident. Maybe not even the dropping of the watch originally was by accident. Maybe there is a magic, and maybe it's not always a perfect magic. But, you know, sometimes you got to get your tricks in. Maybe that's all I'll leave the two of you with that. So we were confused, and after we left, one, we didn't know. We kept trying to figure out how you would accidentally drop a watch, but then it disappears before it hits the ground. How you could possibly misdirect anyone's attention that you've dropped something, which is a misdirection in and of itself, but you're dropping something from a height of your shoulder, and it's falling, and then it's not there anymore. It was like a performance of the highest caliber. The more, when we even knew how it started, it made it even more amazing. And so we don't know how it was done. And we started to wonder what the motivation of our client was, because we could feel this personal tension. And another thing was... we said something about the revealing. So then we started trying to figure out if our client and the magician were connected. And there was this, it was the next step was also a deduction. It was like, well, what about that? It was also night, so they didn't have it. We said, let's see, we'll stream those, the revealer of the magic secrets, which was the show with a masquerade character revealing magic secrets. And as soon as that show started to play, we knew that was our client. It was the same voice. And we said, oh, boy. And that person was revealing magic secrets on that show. And they talked about the code of the magicians. And most of the secrets they were revealing were a big budget, Las Vegas-style illusions. But some of them were interpersonal close-up magic, too. And we started to read, and then they said, no, we found out that one thing that the show was paid for, as the GNDK did the research, was Gandhar the Great Enterprises, Inc., or something. And we kind of had a couple, we still don't understand what's going on. We kind of do. Also, I think they wanted to give me a job, so they said, go to the big farm and see if you can find Gandhar the Great. Now, I quickly learned, as I got to the big farm, you know, time's a little different. I had to dodge. Heavenly Solutions was looking for me because I hadn't shown up to work. But I quickly learned that Gandhar the Great was not in the big farm, Diane. Holy mackerel. But Gandhar the Great's granddaughter was. And she was an adult, so I was able to get some time with her. And I said, please, you know, it took a little rapport building, but it was easier in the big farm. And I said, I was interested to talk to you about these, the history, you know, they said this, but particularly these shows you did, revealing the secrets of magic or whatever it was called. And she said, oh, yes, yeah. She goes, so she talked about the history of the company and, you know, that these magic specials were part of a company decision because of the magic had its, you know, kind of like it was way down in that, you know, in the 80s to the 90s. And then in the 90s to the aughts, he thought that maybe these specials, other than Las Vegas performance magic, you know, which is really always done very well. But, you know, with the magic stores closing, that, you know, Gandhar, the great enterprises, they sold to both magic shops and took toy stores. They said, you know, this is a, but they had hired this person. Now, Gandhar, the great enterprises, and she was very honest with me that among magicians, among kids as entryway into magic, they were loved. But other than that, they weren't popular because they would have to figure out if a magician had a trick. Rarely did Gandhar the Great buy the tricks from the magician to put them into How to Do It or Here's a Fake. Like a lot of it was fake books, like learning to play the guitar. You know, here's the quickest and easiest way to do the illusion. Now, they had someone working there. That job was to figure out what the illusions were, either by reverse engineering was what originally the CEO, she thought, when they first started working with this person, they were doing, but it ended up they were not, they were spying and, you know, paying people that work to say, hey, find out how they'd make that ball turn into five balls, because it's not the normal way. Now, this is our client, Diane, and then this client, the client was the one that said, well, let's do this show. And the show ended up doing very well for Gandhar the Great and magic for a brief time. But then once the show lost us, you know, there's only so many illusions of, like, of the big Las Vegas ones. You know, it was a niche show looking for a broader audience in some sense, Diane. And so the show went off the air. And eventually Plastico International, you know, made an offer on Gandhar the Great Enterprises, and she took it because she said, well, you know, want to be, make, you know, it's just the future of magic is magic manufacturing. And this person was not easy to work with. And so, you know, we talked about it a lot, that this person seemed to be more driven by revealing secrets and learning them. And then Gandhar the Great was just a magic business. You know, she was just a CEO. She said, you know, we do magic around the house a little bit, but, you know, it's just basically my grandfather, you know, grandfather's branding. It was a toy company, you know, with, so we kind of said, okay, this is who our client is, But you know, I told G&DK everything, but they said, why? I don't know the why. We have to know the why. So we went back to our client and we said, they sat down and they said, okay, well, we have the origin of the illusion, but we don't have the actual illusion. But, you know, we have a mystery we're trying to get to the bottom of. And we'll tell you, if you tell us, answer, you know, we'll tell you the origin of the illusion. If you tell us, answer our questions, and we'll call it a day. You know, you don't got to pay us or anything. And the client said, okay, well, what's your question? And they said, why do you want to know all the secrets of all the magicians and reveal them? And they kind of told us a long kind of tale, Diane. It wasn't that great a tale, to be honest. So I cut to the chase. It was basically that they were like disillusioned, to use a word that's ironic in this situation, by illusion. and that they had, like, bought a lot of these magic kits before they worked in, you know, magic manufacturing, and dreamed of becoming a magician. But when they learned that it's really, like, rote practice is one of the main things, they just didn't have, it wasn't for them. But instead of having, it kind of because of the situation or whatever, their circumstances, they didn't have a healthy way to say, well, this is just isn't for me. I don't like practicing this card trick 5,000 times or practicing it 5,000 times so I could come up with a new version of it. That wasn't their thing. And so they got really frustrated, and the way they dealt with that was to reveal secrets. Now, we told the origins of that, but as they did, they said, oh, okay, so you've revealed you know who that person is in the cat masquerade magician. You've revealed their secret, too. And I guess it was like that was kind of the case kind of closed, Diane, because it said the case of humanity, the book of humanity's cases are always open. Even when you close one, you're just turning the page to a new chapter, you know. I mean, I think for G&DK, it's really a rare growth opportunity to kind of see that neither of those paths, Diane, is super fulfilling, right? Like becoming a masquerade magician just to tick off somebody that revealed a secret isn't the nicest thing. But realizing that something's hard and it takes a lot of work, it doesn't mean you got to, you know, take it out. But so really, G and DK were enthused by this. And I think both people, we noticed they stopped performing, the cat masquerade magician, except by hiring. So no more public performances. And believe it or not, in a couple of weeks later, we saw the client starting to perform magic. And magic, I assume they... So I guess that's the next chapter, Diane, is a chapter of healing, that they're now performing magic. And, you know, amateur magic, underlying double score, whatever. But that's what's great about... you know, being here and working with G&DK and learning. Also now I have a friend in the big farm who's very nice. And, you know, it's always nice, maybe I could get her to take over Heavenly Solutions, because I was telling her about it. And she said I was unaware of any karmic billing going on in the big farm in the sky. She said I spend most of my time surfing or chilling. And I said, oh, those things just sound very nice. Yeah, she said, but well, let's talk. So we're going to have coffee and talk at some point in the big farm. And ideally, you know, but then I'm falling into the same trap, Diane. So we'll see, Diane. But it's good. Thanks for listening. And I'll talk to you soon. Good night.
All right, I want to say thanks. Thanks. Good night to our patrons, Adrienne, Kim, and Carrie Ann. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Brad, Matt, and Jessica. Thank you, thanks, 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 and good night. Amber, Rachel, and Nan. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Kate, Misty, and Doug. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Valerie, Sammy, and Lindy. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Susan, Claire, and Amy. Thanks, thanks, and good night. Gwen, Richie, and Christina. Thanks, thanks, and good night. Anne, Katina, and Jay, thanks, thanks, and good night. Kathleen, Ramonda, and Kayla, thanks, thanks, and good night. Elizabeth, Ashley, and Rebecca, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Ryan, Philip, and Kimberly, thanks, thanks, and good night. Brittany, Bridget, and Stephanie, thanks, thanks, and good night. Cecilia, Lindsay, and Morrow, thanks, thanks, and good night. Ashley, Naomi, and David, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Claire, Inari, and Sassoon, thanks, thanks, and good night. Natalie, Eric, and Jem, thanks, thanks, and good night. Jimmy, Savesa, and Maureen, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Stuart, and Rico, and Carolyn, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Rebecca, Connie, and Daniel, thanks, thanks, and good night. Adam, Amit, and Jake, thanks for hanging out. Alex, Kathy, and Roseanne, thanks for hanging out. Lakeisha, Nathan, and Morgan, thank you, thanks for hanging out. Joan, Richard, and Matthew, thanks for hanging out. Renee, Jenny, and Jeffrey, thanks for hanging out. Andrea, John, and Emilio, thanks for hanging out. Cheryl, Allie, and Christina, thanks and good night. Connie, Rachel, and Maeve, thanks and good night. William, John, and Dima, thanks and good night. Connor, Ann, and Judy, thanks and good night. Solango, Nancy, and Rhonda, thank you, thanks and good night. Steve, Michael, and KY, thanks and good night. Paige, Diana, and Lori, thanks and good night. Amducias, Jacob and Melissa, thanks for hanging out. Lacey, Maggie, and Philip, thanks for hanging out. Anton, Denise, and Amy, thank you, thanks for hanging out. Jack, Nicole, and Understand, thanks for hanging out. Sleep with Me is listener supported, as I just listened. Those are people that actively support the show on Patreon. We also get listener support other ways and through listeners that directly support the sponsors. Thank you, everybody that does that. You keep the show free and going. And I also want to thank everybody that spreads the word about the show. That's how Sleep With Me grows. And speaking of spreading the word, I want to talk about a show I love by two people I love, even though only one of them I've ever met. The only one of them I have the pleasure of actually knowing. And that's I Only Listen to the Mountain Goats, which has Joseph Fink from Night Vale and Alice Isn't Dead, and then John Darnielle, singer and songwriter from Mountain Goats. And they sit down and talk. They talk to other artists. They talk about everything, life, songwriting, life, storytelling, life, NEWS, the richness of art. Really important stuff and good music. And when you're listening to this, it probably won't be long till the new season comes out. Just because I record these ahead of time, I don't have the exact dates. But check it out at nightvalepresents.com or in your podcast app of choice. Just search I only listen to the Mountain Goats. And we're a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You can find all of the other amazing shows at nightvalepresents.com. We're also a member of PRX. You can see everything they're doing at prx.org. And there's plenty of other episodes ready to go if you need them. I'm here show after show after show to keep you company and help you drift off, all right? I'm ready. I'm ready right on the other side of this. Thanks. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my four-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with, the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side, models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15 year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine has a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.